Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's a lie. I just did an episode without you, just 10 minutes ago.
Yes, you did. Although I think this one's being released before that one, so everything's out of order.
Well, how about this? I feel like one night this week, why don't you let Uncle Kiwi sleep in?
I have recorded several without you already.
You did Philadelphia. What other team did you do without me?
You'll find out when they get released. And you're like, wait a second, I never recorded that one. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, I didn't know that you had that because I'm trying to book other episodes. So you'll tell me if it's
Well, we should coordinate a little bit, probably. Yeah,
probably. I don't know why there's a secret podcast happening behind my back. That's absurd. Completely crazy. You got to tell me. I'm like hounding people like, hey, do you want to harm the Jaguars? Meanwhile, like he's going to say yes, and then you're going to be like, sorry.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the Jaguars. Let's talk about the 10th.
It doesn't matter. You can't do two Jaguars podcasts. We're doing 32 podcasts.
All right, let's talk about the 10th ranked New England Patriots today. Interesting ranking for the Patriots.
Oh, my God. What? That sounds crazy to hear.
Yeah, so low, right?
Oh, my God.
It's the lowest they've been probably as long as we've been doing this. I have them ranked exactly 10, so I have my ear on, I guess, everybody. You have them all the way up at 7, but our listeners have them down at 15. And there's a couple of listeners, and I don't know if these are just trolls or if they
legit. I feel like they're trolls.
Well, so Lawson Campbell has him down at 28, so the fifth worst team in the NFL.
Completely nuts.
The others have him in the 20s as well. No one has him as low as Lawson. So let's bring on a guy who doesn't know what it's like to not root for a great team, and that's our resident Yankees Patriots fan, Michael Clark. So, Mike, welcome back to 32 Fans.
Chester, thank you. And, I'm not surprised that there are some trolls out there.
Well, but I don't know. We've never actually done this in the past where we've had listeners submit their rankings. So I wonder if these people would have had them 28th in the past as well. This is a team, after all, that had halfway through last season, historically, arguably the greatest defense of all time. Now, part of that was they had like the easiest slate of quarterbacks of all time. And they went into the playoffs as a, probably Super Bowl co-favorite in the AFC. And then they lose a very, very close game to a team that ends up going all the way to the AFC Championship. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, they're done. This team's cooked. They're finished. And it seems a little bit preemptive to me. But then, of course, you lose your quarterback. And then it sort of like puts the nail in the coffin. Everybody decides the Patriots are definitely done. So, Keith, before we get to Mike, you have them at 7. So is this just as a longtime suffering Jets fan, you're still afraid of them? And until they're dead, you don't believe it, basically?
I'll believe that they're dead when I see they're dead. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Mike, where would you put them, if you were sort of guessing in your power rankings without asking you to put all 32 teams in a ranking right now? Where would you say the Patriots should be at this point?
I will say, off the top of my head, I think 10 makes sense. I think anywhere from like the 9 to 12 range, I wouldn't quibble with that.
Yeah, and as we've mentioned this on a few pods, from 6 to 13, our teams are separated by less than 2 points on average. So 6 to 13 is very, very interchangeable. So yeah, the Patriots could very easily be up or down a couple of spots. Obviously you have the big turnover at quarterback. But then when it came to opt-outs for COVID, you guys had, I think, a league high 8 guys opt out. And, this is a team who offensively, whether the quarterback was Brady or Cam Newton, healthy or injured, they don't have a lot of help at the skill positions. And so this was a team that really was going to be riding its defense. But you lost Jamie Collins, and then with all the opt-outs, Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung, Kyle Van Noy. So really a lot of Danny Shelton, I think, went to the Lions. So a lot of holes in this defense. So I guess let's start on the defensive side. Again, last year, historically great the first half. As it turned out, a little bit of that was the opponents, but still a very, very good defense, if not the best defense in the league, top 2 or 3. What are your expectations for the defense coming into this year with all those holes, including a whole bunch of holes that, you weren't expected to have until a month ago?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough sledding for them, for sure. Last year, people were really all hailing the work being done by the three-headed monster of Gerard Mayo, Steve Belichick, and, let's face it, it's probably mostly Bill. So they still have the Defensive Player of the Year in Stephon Gilmore, a guy who, this may have been ridiculous, but was receiving buzz about, could he even be the MVP, about halfway through the season.
Oh, he finished number 2 on the Chester MVP ballot, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the most important one, of course.
Sure. His second half wasn't as great, for sure. But no, this is going to be it's going to be a different defense. And I think that the Pats have they've done a good job of trying to plug in people in the past. I'm hoping for the second year to be the year that Chase Vinovich really makes a name for himself. But I don't know. I'm looking at this depth chart, and you know the McCourty twins are still there, but like they've been so outspoken, like I wouldn't be surprised. But actually, the window to opt out is over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm talking out of my butt. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know. There are so many question marks about this Pats team. I'm with you guys though in that, you know, it doesn't feel like the NFL season is scheduled to be starting in what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, less than that. So yeah, so you talked about you still have Gilmore, who's you know probably the best cornerback in football. Devin McCourty, still a superstar, but Patrick Chung is gone in the secondary. Akiva, as a Jets fan, is Sam Darnold and his batch of garbage wide receivers that you overrate every year licking their chops to go against this New England secondary?
Overrate. I think right now it's they started two guys named Jeff today in practice. We've never heard of like a college receiver like they literally. At full strength, I think we don't have to get into the Jets.
I got
to
say, I was doing my fantasy rankings, and I was shocked how high both Breshad Perriman and Jameson Crowder went. I'm like, what? Why are these guys?
Well, because they have such locked in jobs for a team that's going to be down by like 10 a lot and will be passing. Mm-hmm. It's not so crazy, honestly.
I mean, so let's come actually, you know, so the secondary hopefully, you know, might not be at the strength as strong as last year, but it's still good. Let's talk about the front seven. So on the defensive line, as we said, Van Noy's in Miami, Shelton's in Detroit. You guys drafted a couple of rookies, Josh Uche, I don't know how to pronounce his name, out of Michigan, and Anthony Jennings out of Alabama. Are they like slotted in to like be in the rotation right away, or who's starting on the line for the Patriots here?
By the way, Robbie's so mad that you messed up a Michigan guy's name. Right.
How do you pronounce it?
Is it Uche? I'm not sure. Ugh. I don't think it's Ugh. Uche? I forget.
Yeah.
So they'll probably run the 3-4 like they usually do. And you know, guy's still there, Adam Butler, John Simon, so Dietrich Wise is there.
But these are just names, though. These aren't, like, great players.
Sure. Guy wasn't terrible. Guy was okay.
Well, the linebackers have been so good. Collins, Dante Hightower. I've never heard of these guys starting at linebacker for this team right now. Cash Malois, Jawan Bentley. Who are these people? Who are these people?
Yeah, it's a great cue. I watch every snap of Pat's games, Chester, and I'm struggling right now. Mm.
So if it's not the defense that's going to carry this team, is it the offense?
Let's talk about Cam Newton.
Tell me your feelings on Cam Newton.
I don't know what to expect from Cam this year. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like Boucher without the B. That's how you pronounce it. It's Uche.
Uche. Okay. Yeah. Isn't that what I said at first?
I can't believe we spent so long. We haven't talked about Cam Newton yet.
Yeah, so let's talk about Cam Newton.
Yeah, so I think a lot of Pats fans were really trying to sell themselves on Stidham when they saw the writing on the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and I basically a month out in the late February, you know, before everything was like terrible, but I tweeted out, I said, I expect at least like 10 consolatory, you know, checking in texts when Tom Brady signs with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Like, it just like, it all, it was.
You guys got a lot of friends.
Terrible week because it's when, you know, the NBA and college basketball and all that was canceled. It was that. I had a birthday. Oh, it was a horrendous week. Horrendous. So I don't know. I mean, and then Pats fans were talking themselves into Stidham. They're like, Stidham, like, you know, he's going to be fine. Like, you know, in Bill we trust. They signed Cam. You have to at the rate that he was getting, right?
Hold on. That's, yeah, well, exactly. Let me talk to a fellow Patriots hater here. Akiva, how annoying is it that the Patriots get to spend $2 million on a guy who a couple of years ago was the MVP of the league, and if he's healthy, in theory, could be back at that level?
Yeah, the last time we complained about that, it was about Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, because like every single person knew they were good in the draft. Why'd they go to the third and fifth rounds? This makes no sense.
It's infuriating. It's crazy to me, you know, that as much as I love Teddy Bridgewater, that he gets $72 million and Cam gets $2 million.
You know, you're infuriated. Imagine how mad he is, Cam Newton.
Maybe he's injured. Maybe he's done. But that the Patriots are the team who gets to pick him up. Now, we thought this about Antonio Brown last year, obviously, and Josh Gordon. A lot of those experiments failed. Let's talk about Cam's weapons for a second. So, as we said, the Josh Gordon thing did not work. The Antonio Brown thing did not work. The Mohamed Sanu trade did not work. N'Keal Harry, first round draft pick last year, he was a disaster. Marquise Lee, you guys brought in from the Jaguars, he's opted out. So, I mean, who the only receivers on this team are right now, you have Julian Edelman, who, by the way, had 10 drops and 3 fumbles last year. He's the best receiver on this team. And then you also led the last year I see the Patriots tight ends finished 31st in the league in receiving yards. So they have not replaced Gronk. So who's Cam Newton supposed to throw the ball to, even if he's healthy?
Oh, you don't believe in Devin Asiasi? I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on N'Keal Harry. I think that he had moments last year. I think him and Myers, another year getting used to the pro system, I think could be better.
Can we all agree this is a below average?
It's not going to be good. And, you know, I'm going to have to, like, take my humble pie and be okay with the fact that my favorite football team is going to be irrelevant. Like,
Fans are going to be so insufferable.
Right. So, hold on. So you're irrelevant this year? That's your prediction?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. So you don't, so who's winning the AFC East?
We still could win the AFC East and be irrelevant.
That's true.
You're hosting the playoff game.
It's either going to be us or it's going to be Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your definition of relevance is that you don't win 12 games and get a bye and be a favorite for the Super Bowl.
All right. So the Pats were 12-4 last year.
Patriots fans are going to be even more insufferable when they're bad, Alex. I'm just warning you.
Yeah.
You probably have charged on this, Chester. I think they were like one of the most underwhelming 12-4 teams I've ever seen.
I think that's a very that's a very hindsight take when they lost to the Titans. I don't think people were thinking that before. That people were saying it's a historically great defense, and you still have Brady and Edelman. You still have, you know, everybody else.
Yeah, but he's saying, like, people didn't – but similar to now, it's like we don't believe they're dead. They didn't – yeah, they weren't, like, an elite 12-4 team. They weren't – in hindsight, like, there was definitely cracks in the armor, and you can see, you know, that they played poorly a lot down the stretch. It's not that crazy.
Very little
buzz. Even though people would not have been shocked that they won the Super Bowl, correct?
Yeah, well, because they won the Super Bowl the year before with a pretty mediocre team, honestly.
Yeah, we could. I mean, the receiving core is so bad. I can't get
it's
over
really
like
bad.
After Edelman, Harry stinks. Myers not going to be as good as he was last year. Sanu is Jag, right? He's just another guy. There's just so few good players on this team.
True.
It's shocking.
They signed Lamar Miller, so that's something.
Ooh, that's exciting. So the last time Dante Scarnecchi retired, guys. The first year it was like phantom limb syndrome. They were fine. And then the second year the line fell apart and then he came back. And so now Scarnecchi is gone. You know, the greatest offensive line coach in history. People, there were advanced metrics that had him, you know, so much better than the second best, you know, the difference between him and the second coach was not as big as was bigger than the difference between the second best offensive line coaches and the 32nd best offensive line coach. So he's a, you know, Hall of Fame type position coach. What have you seen from the O-line there? Are you nervous about that, Michael, that, you know, with Scarnecchi gone, like, right away, is it going to collapse possibly?
Now in a vacuum, short answer is no. I'm not that concerned. I'm looking at their O-line right now, and I think they have 4 out of 5 guys who, you know, I would rate at a plus offensive line. And then there's right tackle where, like, who knows? But this has become and again, I'm going to say no one does, nor should they have sympathy for what I'm about to say, but it looks like the team that I'm rooting for is not going to do well with injury luck. So I have zero confidence that Isaiah Wynn can play 16 games. I have like very little confidence in the fact that these 4 guys of the 5 are going to be together for more than 8 games. It just that it hasn't been that way for their offensive line.
I mean, if the offensive line isn't an above average unit, this offense has no chance, because that's been the one consistent thing. I think, like, even last year when Brady was basically an average NFL quarterback, and as I said, the receivers were mediocre and the tight end sucked and the running game was okay, but nothing special. It was the offensive line that was really keeping this team together. And if you have a quarterback who's a little bit risky and you don't have dynamic receivers down the field, if you don't have an offensive line, you're in a lot of trouble. The backfield hasn't changed since last year, which means, you know, Sony Michel is a not particularly dynamic, but, you know, more or less effective guy on first and second down, but really zero pass catching ability. James White's the opposite. He's coming in almost exclusively as a receiver. Rex Burkhead, I guess, does a little bit of both, but he doesn't play that much. And Brandon Bolden, I think he opted out as well, right?
Yeah, they still have Damian Harris, who I think, you know, some Pats fans are kind of holding out hope that, like, hey, he could be something. He was good in Alabama, but,
The number of top draft picks. Belichick has really swung and missed. I mean, N'Keal Harry, first-round pick. Sony Michel, first-round pick. Like, a lot of these guys have just really underwhelmed who were expected to.
Well, I mean, Michel won us the Super Bowl, and I'm not burying N'Keal Harry yet. Like, you know, you guys can play this back and laugh at me all you want in February when he's, like, out of the league. And he's
well, maybe he'll be good, like, but you have to admit Mitchell, he had an extremely underwhelming rookie season. Right? And he had the opportunity. It's not like they had such a depth chart above him. Right? They traded for Sanu
because
they were so desperate.
I'm biased, though. I don't know.
Flashes?
I don't hate N'Keal Harry. Like, a lot of Pats fans hate N'Keal Harry.
I mean, they drafted Damon Harris in the third round last year. He can't get on the field. You know, even last year when everyone was hurt, they wouldn't let him play. I don't know if there's been any – has there been any positive update about Harris that maybe, like, knows how to be in the NFL, or you think he's just a sunk cost?
I think he has right now three running backs and maybe even four if you think about Lamar Miller, who are just ahead of him in the depth chart. And without injuries – like, I don't see the opportunity for Damian Harris to make a huge impact on this team. If Damian Harris is, like, making a huge impact for them, then they're probably, like 9-7 or something.
It's nine really and seven crazy. A good thing or a bad thing? I can't tell if you mean that to be positive or negative.
If the Jets go 9-7, I'll sign for it right now.
Yeah.
9-7 so and Darnold throws more touchdowns than interceptions. I know. You don't understand. They're going to be if the Pats are like 2-5, Alex, they're going to be like, Pats fans are going to be calling in like corona violations to try and get the NFL season canceled. Like, you can't even imagine how intolerable Patriots fans are going to be. You know, the season doesn't happen. The season doesn't count. Football doesn't matter anymore. Like, you know, we're Celtics fans now.
Oh, Bill Simmons is going to be saying that nonstop for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's not. He's going to stop doing the podcast with Cousin Sal by week four if the Patriots are, like, 0-4.
Yeah. Well, why don't we look at the schedule?
I cannot listen to his bad takes. I can't do it.
Yeah, they're not great. Let's do the schedule game with Mike.
By the way, Bill Simmons right now could not name 10 guys on this team.
Yeah. Well, neither could we. All right. Week one, you're at a home against the Miami Dolphins. Do we see two in this game?
They will avenge their week 17 disaster, and they will win.
Okay. All right. Week two, Sunday Night Football at Seattle. No 12th man, but all right, a loss. And then week three at home against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Win.
Interesting how you alternate good team, bad team to start the season. Week four at Kansas City, defending champions.
It's a loss.
All right, and then at home against Denver in week five.
That's a win.
And then off the bye, you play the 49ers, the other Super Bowl team in week seven.
I think they beat the 49ers.
Wow, so 4-2 with a win against San Francisco, and I think 4-0 at home. So not too bad start in September and October for this team. Now you go on the road at Buffalo in week eight.
I think they lose in Floral Park.
All right, so 4-3, and they've won all their home games, lost all their road games in front of empty crowds. Week nine against the Jets on Monday Night Football in New York.
Win.
All right, so 5-3, and then you play the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football the next week.
That's a loss.
All right, so 5-4. Then you go at Houston in week 11.
It's a loss.
5-5, and then you come home to face the Cardinals after Thanksgiving.
They're not going to lose three straight. Give them a win.
All right, so 6-5. Then you go to Los Angeles, and you play two games in 5 days. So I don't know. I guess you're just staying out in L.A. So you play the Chargers first, and then on Thursday Night Football, 4 days later, you play the Rams.
Sweep it.
Oh, two wins in L.A. So all of a sudden, they're 8-5. And then you go to Miami for week 15.
Loss.
8-5. You lose to 8-6. Is two involved in that game by week 15? I got to imagine.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. 8-6.
You know, injury dependent.
All right. 8-6. And then Monday Night Football in week 16 against the Bills at home. Is this a game with division implications?
I think it is. And I think that the Pats take care of business.
All right. So 9-6. And then you finish the season at home against the Jets. Can you sweep the Jets?
Yes.
All right, so 10-6, so that's definitely an over. I've seen this number at 8.5, I've seen it at 9.5, but at the highest I've seen it is 9.5, and that's probably higher than most books have it now. So 10, so after everything you said, you said this team is irrelevant, but you have them at 10-6, and you know, if not winning the division, certainly a top wild card spot. So what are you complaining about exactly?
Because I'm miserable. I don't know. I know what my reputation is for being a Yankee homer and a Pats homer.
Yeah.
But, I think pretty historically, I've come on this, I'll have them as unders. I'll have them,
Yeah, you're less homerific than most fans on this podcast. But then again, it's easy to do that when your team wins a dozen games every year. So, right? Like, you don't need to be like, oh, this could be the year, because every year's the year. Kiva, would you take the over or the under on this team?
I think I would go. This is not one of my best bets. I just did a pretty big best bet in my last one. I would say I'm pretty tepid, but I'm going to go under after looking at this garbage roster.
Yeah, the roster is like shockingly unimpressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not good. It's going to have to be smoke and mirrors and Belichick.
Hey, they won 11 games with Matt Cassel starting. However, like
that was a dozen years ago.
And by the way, at full strength, they still had a good team. They just you realize nobody else lost COVID level players the way they did. Like, they just lost so many guys.
Do you think there's anything behind that, or just a coincidence?
I mean, they have some old good players who are maybe a little underpaid, and we're like, all right, whatever, I don't care. But they're really the team that lost, by far. Very few other teams lost more than two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
some of them were guys who weren't going to make the roster. They lost a lot of guys who were going to make the team.
Like, Belichick's not going to be the type to be like, talk about how, oh, like, these guys, need to, like, suck it up and play for us. Like, yeah, for all the real just garbage between him and Brady recently, nothing came directly from, like, Belichick ever say anything in press conference. Like, they would leak stuff about each other, and like that it became very messy. But I don't know. I think that defensive unit is very tight, and so they see like one of their brothers opt out, and they're like, maybe it's time I make an exit also. I don't know.
Yeah. So, rank the worst weeks in Bill Belichick's life, and how low will the first week of November rank, where you have him losing to the Bills on Sunday, and then 2 days later, his beloved Trump hopefully loses the election?
Oh no,
it's gonna be a tough week for him.
By the way, no Patriots related people at the RNC, so that's a big win for the Pats.
Mr. Kraft didn't get the invite this time.
It was between him and Dana White. They chose Dana White.
What's your feeling on Brady and the Bucks? Do you want them to win? Do you want them to lose? You don't care.
I'm glad you asked that question, and I know that that Olin Allen is perking his ears up because he's been very curious as to what I say about the Bucks. I love the New England Patriots, but without Tom Brady and, to a lesser extent, Rob Gronkowski, but without Tom Brady entering that game in 2001 and being like, oh, I remember that name when he played at Michigan. I have a family friend named Tom Brady. I hope he does well. I'm not a Pats fan. So, like, I am a Pats fan because of Tom Brady.
Wait, explain that. What does that mean? So you weren't a Pats fan before 2001?
No. My dad's a Cowboy fan.
Wait, your dad's a Yankees Cowboys fan?
He is.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Hold on. So there's a worse Clark? Although, I don't know, because becoming a Patriots fan in 2001 is actually worse than being a Cowboys fan.
Was it during the drive? Was it when Jermaine Wiggins caught that pass? You're like, ooh, maybe Vinatieri is going to hit this.
No, it was the end of that Jet game when Mo Lewis took out Drew Bledsoe. Like,
no,
I was on it. Like, that entire – I won a bet with someone in high school on that game. He wouldn't give me points, which was ridiculous. It was a terrible bet by me that I took like money line Pats in the Super Bowl and ended up winning. When what was that, like a 13 point spread? Like, he wouldn't give me any points. So yes, it happened to be during the season in which they won the Super Bowl. But I don't remember when this like scrawny little kid from Michigan who Drew Henson beat out for a job came in. Like, I don't remember. Like, Tom Jackson and Chris Berman are like, look at the Pats, like, they could do it. Like, no, like, I am legit. And so I wish nothing but the best for Tom Brady in Tampa. I hope they win the NFC South. I hope they make it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
I do. I love the guy, and I will not say a bad thing about it.
So you want to see a Pats-Bucks Super Bowl?
Sure. I mean,
Ooh, that would be terrible.
Yeah, unwatchable.
I don't think I do, actually, because...
Stidham.
I can't, well,
whoever, like, Brady's backup is, because he's going to be 50.
Sure. So, no, I don't want to see a Pats-Bucks Super Bowl. I want to see the Bucks do... I will not root against the Bucks in a game this year, unless it's the Super Bowl and it's against the Pats. Wow. I won't do it.
Is that,
like,
is that
my we haven't even talked about Gronk. Like, I love Gronk. I'm a big Gronk stan.
You have to acknowledge,
hang out with Gronk and Brady.
Hold on, you have to acknowledge that Gronk does not like your team, right? He retires and then comes back a year later when Brady goes somewhere else. He hates your team.
Sure, that's fine.
All right.
Flag fly forever, bro. Like, I still love the guy. He's brought me so much joy. Like, I'm not going to just refuse to root for him anymore. I'm not going to refuse to enjoy Rob Gronkowski because, you know, that he didn't love the culture towards the end of his career.
So what I'm hearing is, if you're drafting right in front of Michael Clark in a fantasy draft this fall, pick Gronk and Brady right before he can, just to piss him off.
Oh, I took
to flip him for Saquon.
Yeah,
I took Gronk in the second round of an RHAP draft once and got, like, completely roasted for it. And it was a terrible pick. It was like his last year in New England. He was irrelevant all year. It was a terrible pick, but I stood by it at the time. He's an idiot, but he's my idiot. I love that man.
All right, I will have to say I'll enjoy this team sucking, hopefully, for a while. But.
Can we have an intervention, Alex, for Michael playing Mafia briefly?
About that.
Michael's in this crew that, like, plays, like, many, many hours a week of this game Mafia. I don't know if you know it. But do you think, Michael, that the minute, like, people can actually go to, like, restaurants again and stuff, like, without worry, do you think that's still going to happen?
I do not think so. Of course, like, I you know, I am one of the statistic, one of the many people who, you know, due to COVID, lost his job. And as someone who works in education, who for the past, like, 5 years worked in travel education specifically, this hasn't been a great time. But, like, this...
We're not going to feel bad for you if your team...
Don't be earnest. Don't be earnest right now, Michael.
No,
you have too many Super Bowl rings.
No, that's fine. I did hear, though, once on a podcast that it's pretty unbelievable that a Yankees and Patriots fan can be such a good person.
Yeah, he did give me the best present I've gotten for my the birth of my fourth son. Kiva gave me nothing, by the way.
I'm not getting you a present. Come on. We have to
Michael Clark got me a present.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, he didn't know.
Now
you
I know
had
the key to your heart.
Wait, hold on. Akiva, you implied that you did give Cameo something for the earlier kids.
No, I would never. That's crazy, though. Like, yeah, no, but I'm saying your friends are giving you presents for your kids. Like, I don't know. We're
good
in a
ones.
Different stratosphere.
My real friends, like Ali Lasher, not people like you.
Ali Lasher got you a present?
No.
I'm
not gonna get you anything. I didn't get my wife an anniversary present yesterday. I'm getting you a freaking baby present. Get out of here. It's your fourth son. If you had a daughter, people would be excited. Nobody cares about the fourth son.
Yeah, fourth son. I've had enough.
This is probably the wicked one anyway, right? If you think
the wicked one,
like from the Seder, it could be the wicked one.
No, he's the one who doesn't know how to ask any questions.
Yeah, this guy probably doesn't know how to ask any questions right now.
Yeah, well, we've heard him on the podcast.
So, Akiva, the minute that people can actually see each other in person without fear of contaminating everyone, I believe the marathon, like, 10-hour Mafia games will be a thing of the past.
All right. And do you think if things go really poorly, do you think Belichick's going to retire?
I do not. I think he... See, I'm trying to think of if he's older or younger than my father. What is he, like 68, 67, around there?
Your dad? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
No.
We'll have him on for the Yankees.
I think he has probably another 3 years in him.
Okay, that's a lot. He doesn't have anything else to do. Like, what's he going to do, retire in Nantucket?
Sure.
Like, that's not a...
Yeah, I, do you think he retires before Andy Reid does?
I don't know. Andy Reid's winning Super Bowls. What's Belichick doing lately?
It's true.
It's weird.
Does he mean Andy Reid's going to retire to the Isle of Mammoth? I don't know what he's saying.
No, yeah, it's weird because Belichick was in my dad's class.
Did we get bombed, by the way?
I don't know. I'm not keeping track of these things.
I'm not sure when we start.
Oh, I think we're at about 30 right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we still got 2 minutes to go. So do we want to hear about your other favorite team, the Yankees?
No, boy. Well, yeah, what a great
you know, by the Mets. The worst thing to do when you get swept by your division, I hate the Rays. The Rays are going to like be so annoying.
Oh, yeah, the Rays are such a hateable team compared to the Yankees.
I hate the Rays.
Everyone hates the Rays.
Really lacking in self-awareness.
Root for the big bad Rays.
Like, no, like watch in October. They'll win one game, like one playoff game. Like, oh, good for you, the Rays. Like, so
I hope your team doesn't win that many.
And then your stupid Mets. Like, the thing you don't want to happen when you get swept at home by your division rival and, like, fall to second place is to sit around and, like, wait for three more days to be like, well, guess we're not playing again until Tuesday.
Yeah. We're not going to have any sympathy for you for the Yankees, obviously. So don't
yeah.
The only good thing I like about this idiotic system of 18.
Still, like, full of people on the IL. It's, you know.
You know what's incredible? If we could talk about baseball for a second, the Twins season has seemed, as a Twins fan, to be sort of very underwhelming. They've had a lot of guys injured, and a lot of guys are not playing so well, and sort of the mood around Twins territory is sort of a little bit negative right now. But the Twins are on a 106-win pace and have the second-best run differential in all of baseball behind the Dodgers. It's kind of weird. Like, I feel sort of negative about the season so far, but the Twins almost could not be doing any better than they are. And it's sort of the same for the Yankees. Like, you're busy complaining because they just got a three-game sweep. They still have, like, the third-best run.